This is Anne.
And this is Malia.
And this is an express episode of Royal Subjects, live from the Shake Shack parking lot in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
It was that important.
I said, we have to talk about this now. So I finished my milkshake and it's time to talk about the launch of American Riviera Orchard.
There's so much. I have so many feelings. I find it so interesting that you could have such a like visceral reaction to something so completely trivial.
It's completely trivial. It does not mean anything about that's going to change, you know, our value system. We have decided that we're irritated with it no matter who does it. Who does a lifestyle Instagram page. And I knew that Megan had done one before and that was her big deal and probably was pretty sad that she let it go because it was going very well for her when she had the TIG.
I mean, to the extent, like, you know, okay, so I'm going to try not to just keep interrupting this for rants.
Go ahead.
But number one, like, that's always, like, people always, like, her Instagram had, you know, 3 million views. Now, this is not related to Megan. This is just me related to, like, hearing this about other people where you're just like, and yet no one I know has ever looked at it. Like,
I
Instagram
never even
famous.
Heard of it. Never
yes.
heard of it until she and Harry got engaged.
You know, like, I'm sure it was huge in, you know, Vancouver or something. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't. Like, I've never, like, seen any of these people. I don't even actually interact with Goop stuff that much. And, like, that was very hard to avoid for a while.
I know.
And, like, that at least I know, you know. But, like, she was an Instagram influencer. Like, okay, sure.
What does that mean? Like, I saw her vacationing with friends in Greece and doing splits and yoga. And wearing thongs. That's what I remember seeing.
Yeah. And I will not. I'll save it for another day. But like, I will not get into this whole thing about how the idea of like making money off of just showing yourself be rich somewhere. That should not be a thing. People, let's like make that not a thing anymore.
Yeah. It's like the plastic surgery to make you look like a blow up doll and all that. It's not. I guess if people are going to pay per click or whatever to look at you just doing shit or other ungodly things people do for money on the internet.
Like, as a society, we should just not encourage them anymore. Don't do it.
You know, if you're not going to be there's no other Martha Stewart. There was one Martha Stewart and she did it without Instagram and she did it without any of this shit.
That's true.
So, now, my understanding is, and my knowledge, frankly, is that there have always been royal style influencers, whether it was Georgiana, the Duchess of,
Okay, like, number one, influencer means something very specific, and you can't historically go back and say that everyone who ever, like, had influence over society is now retroactively an influencer. No, I reject that.
Okay, I agree with you on that. I know that there's a big argument in Vogue about that. Well, you know, so-and-so, you know, Charlotte of Mecklenburg, this or that. No, just stop. This is very specific. This is the internet. More importantly, this is Instagram, social media, monetization of a lifestyle. They failed at monetization of their royal titles. They are not allowed to do that. So now it's Meghan, Duchess of Sussex.
You know, I'm not saying that Wallace Simpson would not have tried to start a lifestyle brand had that been a thing.
Right.
But she didn't, and it's different, and it doesn't count. And, God, I hate that I always bring up Wallace Simpson. Like, seriously. Megan, stop making me bring up Wallace Simpson. Okay, I have to say this very first because, again, this is completely unimportant in every way. And yet, like, my very first thing is, so Megan, oh my God, we're talking. I don't think we even really, like, mentioned much of it. So Megan launches a lifestyle brand called American Riviera Orchard. She's announced it on Instagram with a, you know, tastefully ecru sort of neutral with gold red pretend embroidery thing. American
Riviera life and a crew. Yeah.
Montecito by Megan, the Duchess of Sussex, established 2024, which I'm going to steal from Vulture, will be very impressive in 50 years if that stays around that long, but it's a little strange now. Yes. And okay, so I have to say this because she launched American Riviera Orchard, and then every media outlet was like, American Riviera is what people sometimes call Santa Barbara. No, 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 no. No one calls it that. I know that you found a Wikipedia article that said that people call it that. No one calls it that. We have never, ever, never in my life have I been like, oh, you know, the American Riviera. No.
No.
That is not a thing.
To look at houses in Santa Barbara with my ex-husband, which we could not afford, so we ended up not moving there. But he had a job offer there, and not once anywhere on any sign or any lifestyle shop or any whatever did it say American Riviera anywhere. That just smacks of the PR firm who she's working with, that they just sat in a room and they just said, okay, what's evocative? What is the lifestyle aspiration? Yeah, that's what it is.
Exactly. I have been to Montecito. I stayed there with some people there once for a business thing, and no one called it the American Riviera. They would have actually probably been mildly embarrassed because it has this sort of striving feel to it. You know what I mean? And everyone there has been rich long enough that they don't want to be look like they're trying.
Right. So. Just because you can grow rosemary and lavender there does not mean you're the Riviera.
Okay. And also orchard. What? Oh, incidentally, I mean, vineyard, I guess, but like orchard?
She's got an apple tree and or she's got some fruit trees on their estate. And the products that will be sold, in addition to many vignettes of Megan doing things like posing in ball gowns in a long hallway or stirring beige bowls with, you know, fresh eggs from her chicken coop of rescued chickens, or watching a silhouette of her child picking a citrus fruit. It's going to sell kitchen things and marmalades.
Marmalades. I mean, okay, so yeah, it's supposed to be like cooking stuff or maybe recipes or something, and like, you know, aspirational, I don't know, garden cooking implements and it's lifestyle. It's like hey,
it's the Martha Stewart template.
Yeah, pay too much for this whisk, you know, which I thought we were already doing via Williams-Sonoma, which is also from that part of the country, incidentally. So yeah, I'm not going to turn this into a rant against California.
If you want a $40 whisk, and if you want a candle that smells like something that might have grown in an orchard about an hour from their house, have at it. It's your money.
But this should not be a thing. That's not actually at Megan. That's at like everyone. Everyone who does this, everyone who does tasteful beige and neutral, like, you know, admire my life, buy this cooking implement or this jam or my, like, you know, tastefully neutral dish towels, which are now available at Target. I hate it. I hate it. This should not be a thing.
Well, it'll eventually end up that way because, you know, I think it was India Hicks, one of the Queen's cousins, had a lifestyle brand about 10 years ago. And it ended up kind of being a scheme where you had parties at your house to sell these tasteful things that had to do with her like post-colonial British living in the Bahamas.
Oh my God. Is this some sort of like 21st century Tupperware party effectively?
Yes. Yes.
See, my instincts were like, I knew I should be suspicious.
My first question was, okay, American Riviera Orchard. Okay, that's interesting. So is it for Archwell? No, it does not appear to be that it's raising money for Archwell. It appears to be an independent brand of hers.
Yeah, so this is my intervention. You don't actually want to buy a little porcelain egg holder thing. You think you do because it looks so cute on the wood block cutting board. But you don't want it. It's just like you don't need an actual cupcake carrier. These are things that you don't need. You don't want it. Stop trying to. I get very worked up about this because I have this whole thing about aspirational. It's sort of like when we were watching Cribs back in the day. And people would like, you know, show you their like full refrigerator or something. And you'd just be like, you know, I totally understand the Russian Revolution right now. So
you want to just get drunk and storm the Winter Palace with
yeah. And you know what? I'm not actually a class warrior or anything. It's just this kind of thing. Like, it just pushes my buttons. So,
we have to look at ourselves and be like, okay, what is, I just keep thinking of a Pantone color like thing. Like, when I think of Megan, I just think there's just like five colors. And there's like ecru, tan, gold. It's whatever colors she wears out, usually, you know, maybe
they're
something.
All those colors. You know, they're all those colors that when you try to tell a man what color you're talking about, they're like, what? All those tones. What's the difference between beige and ecru?
It's not aubergine. It's purple. It's not dill. It's light green.
I mean, at least Martha Stewart liked colors. I mean, they were soft New England colors.
Well, one thing that Martha Stewart did, Martha Stewart made her lifestyle brand accessible to everybody. She made it accessible. I'm being critical of the culture in which we're in now. I'm trying not to take Megan apart because it's
This isn't Megan. She's actually just following the trend, but you are onto something there because it's actually opposite. Like, the point now is to appear inaccessible.
Yeah.
You know, to be fully aspirational, not to be like, here's how you can do something like this. You know?
Right. That's how the William Sonoma catalog, the annual reading of the William Sonoma catalog, has become a joke in McSweeney's or something like that. Where, you know, it's like reading J. Peterman catalog, you know? That's how it feels. You're like, that is a sketch of a black skirt, but here is a whole story, speaking of original influencers, about how this black skirt seduced someone in Venice. Like, that's what it's about.
You know, maybe the reason I hate it so much is because I'm like so vulnerable to that shit.
I think it reminds me of college, Anne, and that's why I'm embarrassed and mad about it.
Yeah, because you know deep in your heart that there was a time that this would just be like, yes, this is who I want to be.
The comments I read, I can't read too many comments on any of these things. It's always like you have to be a hater or Team Kate, and I'm like, I don't hate anybody. I can say that I disagree or I think something's obnoxious to my taste without hating anyone or hating anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think from, like, if I were to be logical about it, nothing she's done here is particularly surprising. They need to make their own money. This is a, like, avenue that she has always wanted to do. It is on brand for her. I think that to the extent that there's a misstep, it's that, I mean, to me, this is the action of someone who has no intention of going back to England, because this is purely, like, this could only appeal to Americans. I think that, you know, to some extent, we will be like, oh, yeah, okay, you know, she's sort of, I feel a little sorry, like, she has to add that she's the Duchess, which I don't know what I think. Like, should she have to add that? Like, from an American branding perspective, I guess you add it, but that's off-putting to people.
Well, let's think about Lady Colin Campbell. I think she was only married like a year to Colin Campbell and just still calls herself Lady Colin Campbell, even though you're married for a year in the 70s. So, like, whether independent of her marriage or not, she will still call herself Duchess every opportunity she can in the future.
Yeah. And I mean, if I were in that, you know, intellectual integrity, if I were in that marketing meeting, I would be like, you absolutely need to talk about how you're Duchess of Sussex. Like, that's what, like, makes you different here. That's what's going to give you your nation the space. So logically speaking, it is the right move, except that it seems to, I would think it would probably be off-putting to those who, you know, it works against your desire, if you had any, to return to royal life.
Yeah.
Because it has a very, like, it has just a very, like, give me some money for being duchessy kind of feel to it.
Yeah. My understanding is that they're renting out some properties as well, or hosting things for pay for play. And actually, Prince William does this as well. I'm trying to be fair here with everything. This is how, like, Prince William and Prince Charles have tried to take taxpayer, a different motive to relieve dipping into taxpayer stuff by renting out some of their private homes and things like that. So they're just kind of taking, well, maybe Harry took a page out of that book and said, well, this is what my family does to make money. And then she's like, I'm all Miss Brand. And so then she does her brand thing.
Yeah, I will say that, like, it works well for her. Maybe Pilgrim's Peace, but I do think it devalues the royal brand.
I do. Like, and she doesn't care about that at all.
You know, that's not her concern at all, because it won't devalue her brand. You know, right. It will sink or swim based on, that's actually the risk. The risk, I think, is that they're kind of making a guess. I think Perez Hilton pointed out, like, Americans are, we've reached our capacity of being impressed that she's a duchess. Like, they do not act like royals, so we've kind of just, like,
they just, you know,
they
like
wanted the
courtside.
They act like celebrities. Yeah, and so, and they don't even act like particularly impressive celebrities. They're just kind of like B or C tier celebrities. So, like, that's what she's working with, you know. And so they, you know, as Perez Hilton's like, you know, she has to trade off fame. Like, that's the thing. Like, it'll have to be celebrity. Yeah. Like, you know,
well,
I think I mentioned
still got it. Well, she's still really beautiful and young and all of that stuff. There's a time, unfortunately, in the world in which she lives, there is a ticking time bomb.
Yeah, so this is the right move from that perspective. You know, they don't remind us that she's a duchess, work off the celebrity. If you don't have any interest in, like, returning to the royal fold, why would you even care if you devalue the brand, royal brand? But it does. It does, like, kind of chip away at what is special about it, because we have this idea of, like, it being undignified, you know. It's not dignified to stop your crown.
Why leverage it if you don't need it? If you're like Miss Independent Feminist, you know, did UN ambassador stuff for a year. You know, I have a voice, all the things she says. Why does she need to lean on the Duchess thing at all then? I don't get it. I'm not going to blast that apart. It's her right to do it if she can legally do it. But, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's a sensible thing to do from her perspective, but I can see why, like, on the other side of the Atlantic, why that would just feel, it would feel icky, because it would feel like, you know what, I'm going to be a crotchety old feminist, because I was taught by 70s feminists, and for a second be like, yes, but your accomplishment that you're trading off of is your marriage. Like, that's not.
And that's, like, and actually, but. Well, you know, it's just been a weird week. Like, so of course, I guess that she could, you know, no big, like, hey, we're here for you, Kate and William messaging could come out because it would interfere with the launch of this brand. That's just me being cynical. But I do think.
I would say that it would have been smart for her to say something supportive of Kate and then launch the brand.
I agree.
Because it would have actually been a 1-2.
It's a shame. But I think that was an opportunity, but that's, you know, that's why we do this show, so that we can pick these things apart. I think she has every right to do it as long as it's legal. Just know it's not like, oh, if I buy this spoon, it goes to Archwell things. It's not like that. It's totally just like the Goop Gwyneth Paltrow thing. It's exactly what it is, boilerplate, or Martha Stewart boilerplate, except she's trading in. Because still none of us really, most of us really wouldn't have known who Meghan Markle was if she hadn't gotten engaged to Harry. So that's part of her brand now, too, is her marriage. And so that's just her thing.
Yeah, you know, okay, so we'll have to let's do a episode once we have big plans. So future episode.
We too have grand plans.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you that you need to watch a couple episodes of Suits if you haven't already. Because I wonder sometimes, like, you're right, we don't know her. Like, I mean, all I've done is read books and such. And it's hard not to take in, like, to, like, just sort of take her character from Suits and, like, put it in your in my interpretation of her. Because her character from Suits is effectively the wet blanket. The wet blanket love interest. And, you know, I sometimes, like, you know, I would love to find out that the writer from Suits was just like, hey, look, you know, we just felt this really matched her personality and we went with it. But I feel like it shades the interpretation, because she is the character who just sits there and is like, you know, that doesn't seem right. When, you know, the like main character who's our like hero is like off, you know, being a mischievous scamp who, you know, is going to succeed. So there is a kind of weird echo there. So we got to do an episode about that sometime because it's curious. And I wonder how much it affects people, especially because weirdly Suits is one of the most streamed shows in the world.
Which yeah, I was wondering like when, and I know it's not true. I know that what I'm saying is not true, but at the time I was wondering because it kept coming up as number one in my Netflix thing. And then it was right around the time that Netflix and Spotify were shitting on them. And I was like, is this like some like last bit attempt to like, you know, push it up to the front inauthentically? But
I wondered that too. But I think there's actually probably a simpler explanation, which is I have a son who's in Japan, and I was trying to ask if he'd seen several Netflix shows that I know he loves, like, and he's like, oh, we can't watch that here yet, so I'm watching Suits. And I'm like, oh, you know what, it probably is, it's probably available.
And that's why internationally it jumped up to the top of the numbers on Netflix. That makes sense because a lot of shows are like that. Like there are things that were really like Knight Rider was number one in Germany for years.
sometimes it's just like, hey, it's available and you can kind of, it's like easily translatable to like, you know, you can kind of grasp what's going on. It's, you know, those USA shows back in the day, like they were very much just like template American television, like, you know, episodic, easy to grasp, procedural. Like, you know, procedural. Yeah. And so, you know, that does make it kind of good for like, you know, when you want to watch something easy and comfortable and like, you know, that kind of thing.
I just heard that she's not the star of the show.
No, she's not even like, I mean, it's generous to call her a star of Suits. Because if this was the Oscars, she could maybe take a stab at supporting actress. But even then, you could argue that she isn't even the main supporting actress. You know,
we're not saying that to like be team something or a hater. Stop calling me a hater. I don't hate anyone. I want them to succeed. It's just that the ways that they put themselves out there are more than irritating to me. And that doesn't mean I hate them. I want them to be.
Yeah. It's a little difficult because, you know, this is, you always have to remember this is someone you don't know, but like, I just really hate lifestyle branding.
Well, it's just so curated. It's curated to the point of inauthenticity. Like you can't possibly fucking curate your life that much by every single shade you choose to wear, your hair, your products, your lifestyle. There's no person who wakes up in the morning feeling that curated. She's drowning.
I feel like that cannot be good for you, psychologically speaking. Like, there's no way. But, you know, yes, there are. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. She and Kate in real life, everyone's like, oh, they hate each other. I don't think it's that, but I think they would because it's Little Miss Perfect versus Little Miss Perfect.
Yeah, there is that. Like, you know, I mean, those two girls never get along. They're like about like two different cliques in every single situation you've ever been in your entire life.
I used to have these beta fish named Redfish and Bluefish. And if you've ever had them, you know, they're very beautiful, but they can't be like, they can't mingle. They can't touch each other or they'll kill each other. So we had like a little slat in our goldfish bowl. So they'd stay on each side and I sat there staring at each other all the time. And blowing bubbles. And I was like, one day, man, Redfish is going to come over there and kill you. But they just sat there.
Some sort of...
That's how Kate and Megan are. They're like the beta fish.
Yeah, we're like basically trapped. They're trapped by the lie of sisterhood. Where like, no one does that to men, by the way. Like two men like are totally not like each other and they hate each other. And you're like, well, yeah. But like somehow, like, you know, you're two influential women. You have to get along. Like, you don't have to get along.
I don't want to
get along.
Yeah, I don't want to sit on a panel with you.
Like, why would you get along? You could not be more different.
Like we said on the last episode, that's who you don't want on your, if you're a female in court, you don't want an all-female jury. It's over. They're going to pick you apart tomorrow.
You know, but we go with this myth that like, no, you know, sisterhood, like, oh, no. It's a lie. Actually, you know, I got, oh my God, I fell down a rabbit hole of like female indirect aggression, like psychological studies, like about a month ago. And holy shit, you guys don't even know. It is so, I mean, if you're a woman, you know, if you're a woman, I don't even need to tell you like the complexity of like indirect aggression in like all female groups. But like, yeah. There's like so much competition and so much like very quiet like aggression.
Yeah, we all agree misogyny is horrible, that having our period is horrible, menopause is really hard, you know, that we don't get paid as much as we deserve. I think all those things we can agree on, but my God, do not have us evaluate each other.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So I guess I will say, I am sorry, Megan, I don't actually know you and I do criticize you, but yeah, I'm still going to do it because that's just what I do.
Or like, actually, who cares? You don't give a shit what I think, Megan, but I have the equivalent of a D-list podcast, not for long though.
And yes, we're going to move up to like C-.
I want to lift you up, Megan, but I need more to like about the situation. And I feel the same way about Kate. I feel like right now, Kate, they now at this point after last week, they really needed to come out and maybe put her on a podcast. Could she not speak? Because sometimes she's on podcasts and stuff as a guest. Like, could she just go on and talk so people can hear her voice? Something, anything, but the complete hiding. Someone wrote to me today saying that they thought Camilla poisoned her because she didn't want the competition.
And I'm like, this one's a weird one, because on the one hand, I feel like she said she was going to like take a break till Easter, leave her the hell alone. And then the other hand, I'm like, poor thing, she's going to have to do something because of like the bizarre level of speculation.
I mean, there's no way that the palace can let that continue without some sort of forward positive messaging from her. Like I said, even if it's on a thing about parenting or mental health or something, she always comes on and just says her two cents about what she and her children are up to, or, you know, or
yeah, you know what this could be. So William is famously the one who handles everything better, whereas Harry is a big old mess, but this could be the first expression we've ever seen of William's like issues about like publicity and, you know, that's my wife and that kind of thing, because he has been extremely close-lipped and like defensive as well. You know, it would be pretty incredible if he didn't have his own take on that, you know, despite the fact that he always puts up a much more mature front. Let's go with that.
Yeah. And I think it was like, oh, you know, Kensington Palace is inept and all that thing. Well, they're not Buckingham Palace. Buckingham Palace is the superior PR shop of all.
Yeah.
Of
yeah. This is the B team, you know, in fairness. And maybe they're just surprised. Maybe they like, you know, I'm surprised because holy cow with the conspiracy. And here we are talking about it again, even though we just did it. But like, wow, they just keep going. The conspiracies keep going.
I mean, like what, 3 or 4 days since we did our podcast? And I'm like, why haven't they put anything proactive out there yet? Like, I don't mean to see her. I don't mean proof of, I mean like proof of life, even if it's like I said, her voice.
Yeah.
I don't think she's dead or anything. I think it's just a Photoshop screw up that might have inadvertently opened up other weaknesses they have.
Yeah. So, okay. You know what? I think I figured out what bothers me about the influencer thing and why, if Megan had asked me, I think I probably would have been like, you really need to think about this harder. It's because let's just call a bespoke artisan gardening implement, a bespoke artisan gardening implement. An influencer is not an A-lister. You know, Gwyneth Paltrow managed to escape it, but that's because she started A-list. And it is always a like much lower tier of celebrity. And so to some degree, she's trying not to, but to some degree it's slumming.
Yeah. Well, you'll never see Amal Clooney doing this.
Yeah. And like, that's why I would have said like, oh, I don't know. Like, let's think about this, you know, and to jump right in on the cooking, maybe she's a fantastic cook, but like you should have done the cooking show first. Yeah. And then done the follow up.
You go to Instagram, it's just tiles right now that announce it. But apparently there's some grainy B-roll somewhere of I guess for her promo of her cooking. and stuff like that.
I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow had to drag poor Mario Batali around with her, and I still don't really believe that she can cook.
I don't want to eat her probiotic food.
I know. Like, yes. Look, you know, you can sell me on your makeup. I believe that you know your makeup, but like, I just can't get there with like the lasagna or whatever it is that you're claiming that you love.
And I'm 99.999% sure that this cooking episode stuff is going to rely really heavily on avocados and gluten-free.
Oh, when will we be done with the curse of gluten-free? It's a blight upon our culture. California used to be known for such cool stuff.
I know. And now, you know, how can you? Anyway, I'm not going to go there. But
it's all sprouts and macrobiotic stuff. It's very sad.
And just everything is, you know, smooth. You know, here's my green juice of the morning. And here's what I make for Haz. And the kids just love this. And we have it regularly. I can hear it now.
Yeah, incidentally, lifestyle influencers, all of you, when you tell me that the kids just love something, I know that you're lying.
I bet the whole thing is going to be full of pillar candles. I wish I could be like Sting in that video for wrapped around your finger, just knocking.
Oh, incidentally, anytime someone has a bunch of pillar candles, all I can think about is how long it must have taken to light them all. You
know what someone I mean? Else did. Just like. Up her kitchen, just like Martha Stewart's interns, and just like the poor Mexicans who are probably working that orchard of hers.
I know. Why an orchard, woman?
Wrong. That's tone deaf.
It's just such a strange choice. I just feel like maybe, like, I don't know what the list of choices was, because I'm sure there was, like, you know, we've got it down to these last five.
Exactly. You know, and we all know that this is how it works. And down, okay, you've got four quince trees, right? That's an orchard. You live on the American Riviera and you have an orchard. It shades your yard where you're going to entertain.
I mean, Vulture, you sent me the Vulture article where they go through, like, you know, everything that American Riviera orchard sounds like. And it is. It's like, you know... what they named the French Riviera during the Iraq War. The vineyard. Here, this is what I like. The vineyard that Dennis Quaid owns in The Parent Trap.
Yes.
You know, a Lana Del Rey album title.
It sounds like a mealy smoothie to me.
That is Body Works soap that smells like white grape and gives you a rash.
Yes. American Riviera Orchard or... Ah, it just you guys can let it, someone said it sounded like a Hollywood baby name or, you know, just.
I know. Oh, okay. The venue that hosted the Catalina wine mixer from Step Brother. Like that is what it sounds like. Sister band to Mumford and Sons.
Or like, oh, here we go. American Riviera would be like 5-star restaurant in downtown Santa Barbara. Like as an homage to Santa Barbara that served really elite food, but American Riviera Orchard is the cafe that's
accepted. Like with the more like lower cost, like
the grab and go.
Yeah. they're gonna put one in the San Francisco and the LA airports.
Exactly, American Riviera Orchard, where you can buy grab and go avocado tomato sandwiches with sprouts and a candle. To take the person you're giving.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I feel like I'm giving them ideas and I need to stop.
Yeah, you probably do need to stop. You at least get paid for the idea.
Yeah, I'm working on that, baby. I'm working.
Yeah, so... like here, I keep going in with this like intention. Like I'm not going to like just criticize Meghan Markle just because she makes it easy. Like, and it's just, it's, and then here I am doing that again. So
well,
again.
I'm sure she'd be happy to return the favor if she heard us talking about her.
Yeah. You know, my favorite, gossip is that, Harry isn't allowed to hang out with Orlando Bloom because Katy Perry said that Meghan's wedding dress was mid. Which is like
what?
Yeah, you've never heard that gossip before?
No.
Yeah, okay, so they're neighbors, right? Well, I mean, relatively speaking, I don't know how much anyone is a neighbor in Montecito, but they live near each other. And you would think that Harry would probably want to hang out with Orlando Bloom because, you know, I don't know, because they're from the same country. I guess that's not a good reason. If I was in a different country and someone was like, you'd love to hang out with her, she's American, I'd be like,
years living in La La Land. Yeah.
But yeah, sure. Like, let's just go and like, they do would like to hang out. And I think they kind of would because Orlando Bloom used to be a bit of a himbo.
She's like, I don't want to hang out with Ellen and Portia again.
And apparently, like, they were friends a little bit, but then they couldn't hang out anymore. Because Katy Perry did an interview or something, and she basically said that Meghan Markle's wedding dress was just kind of meh, and that Kate's was much better.
Well, yeah.
And so then apparently the rumor, oh my God, I have absolutely no substantiation for this at all. This is just pure gossip. But the gossip was that like after Katy Perry said that, then like it caused this rift and like, you know, Harry couldn't hang out anymore. Like the same way that he wasn't allowed to hang out with David Beckham anymore. Yeah. Because I can't even remember what Posh Spice did.
It's all just shit. Like, there's a woman who lives in my village who doesn't like me because, like, years ago I hooked up with her husband. Years and years ago, and she's much younger than him. But if I'm anywhere around, they have to leave, even though he doesn't want to. And he and I are cool together and wave high, and it's normal.
See, it's like female, that, like female indirect aggression, man.
It's what it is. It's like, I don't want you anywhere. I am no threat to them whatsoever. My husband and I will be sitting there arm in arm, and she will see us and make him leave.
Yeah, it's so I guess that's why I find it plausible, because we all know a story just like that. Mm-hmm. So like, okay, yeah, I kind of believe that, like, you know, Harry can't hang out with David Beckham anymore, which if I were Harry, that would bum me out.
That would really, it's really bad.
Yeah, because I kind of want to hang out with David Beckham.
I could hang out with him, and just if he doesn't want to be around while I'm hanging out with someone, he just doesn't be with me while we do that. So
yeah, incidentally, that's how you're supposed to handle it, young couples. Just go hang out separately, for goodness sakes. Don't make a thing about it.
Yeah, don't you know? I'm sorry. I'm starting to stammer, so it's probably time for me to go.
Yes.
I'm back, and now I'm headed to Lowe's.
Okay, so I am very excited. We're gonna like be able to do even more pop culture stuff soon. But it was
very
cool to sit here and
our format up. Yeah.
Yeah, and mildly criticize American Riviera Orchard, even though it's not the first time that anyone has tried to capitalize on their royalty-ness in order to make money, because people do that all the time.
As ever, we wish you good things, but, you know, we also have to monetize things we're interested in, so that's what we're doing.
Yes, I would monetize my duchessness if I could. So yeah. That does make me a bit of a hypocrite, but I can live with that.
Only a little H.
Yep. All right. Well, on that note.
Till next time, I'm Anne.
And I'm Malia.
And we are the Royal Subjects.